Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
What the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And then he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you f***ing idiot. You know? I was like, oh, geez, this guy's definitely not coming here now.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
Kind of the main difference is that we're just pouring our hearts and souls into the sport. And I know our guys want to win. And that's what hurt in that moment. And what I had to kind of overcome and come to the realization, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Whether you are washing the dishes, having dinner, we don't know, whatever you want to do when you listen to podcasts, welcome in. Episode number 6 of Athletes Unfiltered. As always, Jeff Ekstrom along with Nebraska quarterback Adrian Martinez with you here. Adrian, how's it going, my man?
It's going good. Really excited about this episode and the guests that we are lucky to have here, diving into a new sport. Speaking of that sport, the All-Star Game was recently on. How about baseball, man? I feel like they're really doing a great job of pushing out some of these new superstars that are on the forefront here.
Yeah, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, who's just taken MLB by storm, hitting 30 home runs and then can throw it 100 miles an hour.
Well, they say the guy doesn't even do batting practice.
Yeah, which is insane to me.
He pitches. He's a weekly starter. He's one of those guys, and he bats for him, 32 homers. He was in the home run derby.
Yeah.
He was a leadoff hitter in the All-Star game, started the All-Star game. It's hard to top a guy like that.
And it's hilarious because he's a guy who can do everything. He's a superstar, and then, like, these cameras get him in the dugout just doing goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's one time he's just in the dugout trying to balance a ball on his forearm or something like that.
What a dog. I imagine it's kind of hard for him to interact with his teammates, though, is one thing, and I wonder how that goes, if there's any type of barriers, because he does have an interpreter, too, right? And I know that was a big topic with Stephen A. Smith, and he definitely blundered that. But
yeah, that wasn't great.
I feel like stuff like it's baseball, and I think that's what's so cool about it is that it's international.
Yeah.
I mean, you got guys coming from all over the world to come play the game in the best country, the best teams, and it's a part of it. So it's really a cool thing to watch a dude like that, a superstar, come to the forefront that is an international player and kind of bring it into a welcoming type of deal.
And then you throw in Fernando Tatis in there as well.
Yeah.
And
that guy is fun to watch. And, I mean, there was a little bit going on there about baseball and kind of the tradition and whether it's okay to celebrate and kind of be maybe a little flamboyant, if you will. And the guy's fully embraced it.
Yeah.
The guy's fully embraced it, and he's a stud. He's on the cover of MLB The Show, swaggiest guy out there. He's got the dreads. I mean, hell, baseball's becoming cool, and I love to see it because growing up, I mean – loved to play ball. Yeah. Loved it. But there wasn't that aspect to the game. And I feel like it truly is here and here to stay.
Yeah. I mean, baseball was always, in terms of watching it, embracing it, was always an afterthought compared to other sports. But now with these superstars coming in, it's like, hell yeah, I want to watch this guy.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm excited about it. So I think have you heard about the pitch clock? Is that a thing that's being implemented on the MLB level? Because I think it's only in college a little bit, right?
Yeah,
I know it's in some of the minor leagues, right? Something like that?
I think.
Would you want to see that on an MLB scale?
Yes, because there are some guys who just take ridiculous amount of time to pitch. I know one guy who takes 30 seconds between each pitch.
For a TV audience, that's tough.
That's rough.
Yeah, but I'm sure the guys probably wouldn't appreciate it, feeling rushed that way. So who knows where that's going to head, but it'd probably be a good move for TV and that purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, honestly, that's where the game's headed.
Yeah. I mean, they already got, I think it's 2-minute time limit now between innings.
Okay.
So they're already starting to shift. But also you got, like, robot umpires coming into play soon.
I don't think that'll ever be a thing. You can't take the human element out of the game. And touching on that, the instant replay. I mean, in baseball, it can be brutal. It's like that in basketball, too. Football, it's almost a joke in the NFL when they review certain plays. Part of that just takes out the flow of the game, mm-hmm. and there's got to be a line to it. So I don't know if introducing robots is the path or just accepting that we're humans and that mistakes are going to be made. You can't really get every call right, and it's a part of the game. I feel like it always will be, and you accept that as a player. You don't want the game to be decided by a ref, but you realize that, hey, they're going to make some calls, and that's the way the game goes.
There's always pros and cons of certain things because, like, I'll say instant replay. It's meant to, like, improve the calls and make sure things are right. But then you have situations where a guy's trying to steal a base and his foot comes off a millimeter for 1 second, and he's out.
And big calls like that can make the difference in the game. And I totally understand that. Maybe throw it back to, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a Tigers pitcher back in 2009 maybe, and a famous ump.
It was like Gararaga or something.
Yeah, he's throwing a perfect game, and the guy made a terrible call, and that's that.
Yeah.
And that's a life-changing event for a guy. I mean, going from throwing a perfect game to not, I mean, all the things that come with that, your name's in history, and it's all gone because a guy messed up a call. And with replay, you get that back. So you're right. There are pros and cons to it, and it's just tough. When it really disrupts the flow of the game, and sometimes they replay it and they don't even get it right.
Yeah, which is really frustrating.
It's almost
when that
like happens. A lose-lose situation.
Yeah, and MLB implemented that really late too, I felt like.
They did. They were very late to change. Very late to change.
Which has become a common theme with them sometimes, which can be really, really frustrating.
Yeah, and I get it, because part of what makes baseball so great is the tradition, the pastime to it, and I think it's just going to be about blending those things, and it seems like they're finally getting around to doing it. You see some of these young guys embracing maybe the flamboyant nature or just the energy, and it's exciting for TV audiences, and I'm telling you, if you haven't been to a baseball game, go to one.
Yeah. MLB baseball games are just awesome.
I mean, the ballparks, the atmosphere, it's hard to beat. And I was fortunate enough to grow up around that and get to go to a ton of games, a ton of Giants games. I've been to every ballpark in California, and the exception of the Coliseum in Oakland, because that's trash.
I've actually been there.
That place is trash.
It's not great, but it really isn't. But it's a cool atmosphere because you have, like, all the fans there are, like, loyal. They're not, like, tourists coming through town who go to
games.
Yeah, I mean,
all the 10,000 people that are there.
Yeah. They have their reading glasses, taking their own stats and everything like that.
The people taking the box score up there. I want to ask those people, why are you doing that? You know, like, pull it up on ESPN on your phone. Yeah. Like, does it help you stay engaged? Is that your thing? Because I went to a Husker game. I went to the Nebraska-Michigan game, and there were a couple old ladies in the outfield just doing the box score, just being troopers. And I'm like, man, what are we doing? I guess it's just a thing. I don't really understand it.
No, I really don't either. Hmm. But you know what we do understand? We have two great guests coming up.
We do, and they know a hell of a lot more than I do about baseball.
We got Kyle Perry and Jackson Hallmark, two very entertaining dudes who can toss the ball around and mash some homers. So, and they had a lot to say, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I think you guys are really going to enjoy this one.
Jackson Hallmark, Kyle Perry, up next on Athletes Unfiltered. Don't go away. You are listening now to the main content of episode number 6 of Athletes Unfiltered. Jeff Ekstrom along with Adrian Martinez. And today, we have two baseball players. First time we're delving into another sport here in Athletes Unfiltered. We have one guy who can deal and another who can just rake.
Oh, I love the description.
Thank you.
Nebraska baseball players Kyle Perry and Jackson Hallmark joining us here. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Now, I'm going to ask this first question. How happy were you guys when NC State beat Arkansas in that regional final?
You know, I kind of had mixed emotions because I thought it made us look better if Arkansas won. But
dude, I think the same thing.
I was like, you know what? I hated their fans. Awful. If any of them are listening right now, I did not appreciate anything y'all did. Y'all were awful.
Tell them how you really feel.
Actually, they were a really good fan base. It was crazy to play a part.
Huge. But, like, Give them a lot of credit.
They were bad to our parents. And
oh, boy.
That's kind of where I draw the line. Like, the whole Mojo thing, whatever, good fun. But I saw an Arkansas fan try to punch Mojo's dad.
Oh, jeez.
I saw our dads pushing, like, fans, like, out of our, like, circle after we beat them. And it was just like, yeah.
Nebraska people are nice, you know? Like,
we're not used to
the exact opposite.
Exact opposite.
Yeah. No, yeah. So that was tough. When NC State did beat them, I was like, yeah, you know what? Good for them. And I thought NC State was the better team, honestly. Mm. Like, when we played Arkansas, like, they were good. They could hit, but they couldn't pitch. Like, they had one freak of nature named Kevin Copps. Now the Golden Spikes player. Other than that, they weren't deep. And NC State just exposed that because they were.
Yeah. Mm. I like to take a little credit, or as a team, I like to, you know, give us a little credit that we wore them down for that super.
Yeah.
I mean, Copps wasn't as effective. I mean, they had to use him.
They had
to use
Copps for how many innings did he pitch?
But he had to pitch a lot more than he usually would in a super.
He threw, I think, two in game one when they won.
Yep.
And then they lost game two, and he threw, like, one or two, like, late. And then he started and threw – 8-plus innings.
Yeah.
As a reliever that had already thrown four.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He was nuts.
And he threw 300 pitches the weekend before.
Yeah, he was nuts.
They were riding that guy.
Oh, yeah. My God. Until the wheels fell off.
Yeah. And, I mean, it wasn't even bad when the wheels fell off for them. It was, you know, what it was.
A one-run game. It was one home run. He left one cutter.
He gave up a home run.
He had one soggy cutter that didn't break as much as the other 280 that he threw.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him on TV. They look disgusting.
Oh, he's nasty. You don't even know if it's a slider or a cut. It's just spinning.
It looks the same.
It's spinning, moving, it's doing everything.
Well, no, the crazy
thing. I'm not even a hitter, but.
The crazy thing is, like, we watched film on him, and I was like, all right, none of these guys are hitting it, but this pitch doesn't look that good. And I was like, is the SEC just, like, not good? No, they're good.
Yeah.
I got up there. I was the first guy that faced him. Great. Yeah, so I walk up there, and I'm like, I thought to myself, all right, this is supposedly the best pitch in the NCAA. I'm going to take the first one and see what it looks like. And he threw it, and I was like, saw it go by, and I looked at the catcher, and like my eyes were wide open, and I looked at him, and he kind of grinned, and I was like, what the fuck was that? The ball didn't have laces, and like the way baseball works, like four seam, you can see like the ball rotate, slider, you can see the dot, change up, you can see the dot going the other, no spin. It was a white ball.
Wow.
And then it just vanished.
Yeah, fell off.
And from the dugout, you see, you know, like you can see break from the dugout, but like you can't see from the hitter's point of view.
Definitely.
So you're seeing this guy, and you're like, come on, like hitters, like,
come on, guys,
like,
let's go.
Let's go. He's throwing, you know, his 92 is about his max that weekend, you know, for his fastball. But then he throws this other stuff that's 87 to 90, and it's just like, dude, it's nothing we haven't seen. But then you realize that this guy's legit after it's been after we're seeing him for the second time in the same weekend. And he's just still dicing us up.
Yeah.
And he had done the whole, you
and
know.
You guys are no schmucks, you know.
He's pretty good.
Explosive.
For sure.
And he was just having his way with us.
It was crazy. It was
cool to watch.
It was cool to watch, but I didn't how he had to pay for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun.
NC State almost won the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a damn good team, and we'll dive in that later. What were we going to say, Jeff?
Well, I was like, that entire series with you guys in Arkansas, it felt more like a 7-game ALCS type series atmosphere rather than a 2 out of 3 series. Like,
well, yeah, and you see like those pitching situations with Copps and the bigs. Like, you don't see that at the college level. So it was just like bringing out their guy, you know, for another appearance, but it was in the matter of 2 days instead of a whole week.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I see how you're saying that.
Yeah, no, that kind of like it kind of leads into the fact that we had no business being there. We ran through the Big Ten. Shit. We won the Big Ten. An entire weekend left. We ran through on the road and beat two of the better teams in the Big Ten four times. Locked up the Big Ten. And then we go and beat 2 out of 3 from the second best team in the Big Ten. Like, I'm not saying we should have hosted, which we should have, but there's no shot in hell.
I mean,
we were the 32nd seed in the NCAA tournament.
You guys should have gone to, like, Notre Dame.
I mean, yeah, if anything. But you're looking at all those polls. And, man, we're in, the top 20?
Yeah, we were, like, 17
majority
and some,
of the polls,
19,
so it's like,
yeah, the big ones.
So, I mean, just mathematically, it just doesn't add up whatsoever. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, beg for answers because NC State's not getting answers, and they got the shaft out of anybody in the whole entire country when it comes to that stuff. So it's whatever. But, like, we went in there and competed, but at the same time, it's like, Arkansas didn't have any business hosting someone like us, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it was bad both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their players were telling us that. Like,
and you know, we had no business being there as technically the 32 overall seed, which that just, it, like I said, mathematically, it doesn't add up.
It's whatsoever. Bullshit.
It's completely
bullshit.
Yeah. That's the best way to put it.
And you know what's bad? Like, we were thinking that, obviously, because, like, we felt like we were being disrespected. But when we were playing Arkansas in the game two, I hit a single, and I'm at first base, and I'm talking to the first baseman. He said, "What the fuck are y'all doing here?" And I was like, "What do you mean? Like, it's a one-run game." And he was like, "No, why are y'all here?" And I was like,
"You guys could have been hosting your own region."
That's what he said. He was like, "Y'all had like 8,000 people at y'all stadium last weekend, and y'all ran through the Big Ten." He was like, "There's no reason y'all should be here.
No reason. Like, and if they were like, being smart about it, like, we would have brought fans to that thing. There's like financial reasons. The fact that the team was good, like good enough to host a regional, it was complete bullshit all around." Like,
well, yeah, it's. I mean, I get the, you know, we only played a Big Ten only schedule. Okay, that's, I mean, solid reason.
But they're going to punish you for something you guys couldn't even control.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, all right, you know, why we still shouldn't be here. But if that's the only reason that we're here, and I mean, then you sit back and you look at it. Yeah, the headlines were working itself out. You got Van Horn, Coach Van Horn of Arkansas, that coached Coach Bolt.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, beautiful headlines and whatever, but we're, you know, We're at the other end of that expense, so it's just like, and they are too.
And they are too, yeah.
It's not as, you know, just not
they
as
were
terribly.
Just as worried to play us as we were to play them.
Love that.
So it's just like, I mean, at the selection show, we were all sitting there, and hell, I was barely paying attention, but then I heard the guy slip up when he announced Northeastern in the regional, and he said the coach of Nebraska, and it just kind of, I don't think anybody else caught that, but I was like, oh, you, like, don't.
I didn't.
They, like, because they're looking at their sheet, you know, on the broadcast. Like, they're looking at their sheet, and there's just no way he accidentally said Nebraska, you know, instead of the Northeastern. So I was like, dude, there's just no way we're right under these guys. And sure as shit, Nebraska is matching up with Northeastern in the first round. I couldn't freaking believe it, man. That was
unreal. We kind of got done dirty, though.
Oh.
So they had cameras pointed at us. And I was like, this isn't going to end well. Like, because what if we go to a regional that we don't want to? And we're like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting front and center, and Arkansas pops up. And then we pop up right under it. And I was pissed. And I had this straight face, and everybody behind me is clapping, and I'm like locked into this screen, pissed off. And like dudes behind me are clapping, and I was just staring straight forward.
Oh yeah.
And I got blasted by Arkansas fans on Twitter
because
it looked like I looked scared.
I do.
I was pissed.
I do have a great thing to address is who I don't know who the reporter was that put that little clip of us right after our team was announced and said long faces. Those weren't long faces, man. Those were pissed off dudes. Those were pissed off dudes. Like
bunch of pissed off.
Look at like literally, but it, like I mean, they long faces. When you think of long faces, you're thinking about, you know, some
sad
kid that just got his lunch pail taken from him. But like no, that like the boys. We even talked about it before. Like regardless if we're matched up against, you know, whoever or Arkansas, you know, we're going to make, you know, the same reaction.
It was a joke. We said, like, even if we're, like, matched up against Arkansas or, like, if we're somehow hosting somebody else's regional.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, so whoever did the long faces thing, we were not sad,
like, we expect to be there. Like, we're not clapping and looking surprised. Like, some of these, like, you see, like, teams that win their conference tournament that's the only reason they're going in. And, like, when they get announced, they're freaking out. Or, like, bubble teams that
like
didn't know.
Like the NGITs.
You knew you were going to be there.
Yeah, we knew we were there, and we knew we were, at worst, a two seed. A high two seed is what we thought. And, like, possibly a one seed. And so we're like, you know what? We expect whatever we get, like, we're not going to clap. And then that happens, and it looks like we're just shook.
And then you got, like, you know, half, you know, a good chunk of the team. Surprise, like, because it wasn't, like, a clean cut, like, hey, we're just going to be stern. It was just, like, you know, talks among the team. Like, hey, what should we do? And some said, you know, let's clap regardless and, you know, let's be serious. And that it just got mixed up and everybody's freaking surprised. But I think most of the team was just like, you know, I think a good chunk of the team wasn't even paying freaking attention because they weren't expecting us.
So it was like,
oh, geez.
Oh, wow.
First regional they announced because Arkansas is the one seed. Announced Arkansas is the one seed. They're playing Northwestern. And then Northeastern's the three seed and they're playing Nebraska.
Yeah.
Tough.
Long faces.
Holy shit. All right, let's jump back a little bit and let's go through a little bit of your backstories. So let's talk about recruitment. What was both your guys' recruitment like? I know we talked a little bit pre-show about baseball and how it's kind of a, for lack of a better word, a clusterfuck. It's just a clusterfuck, you know?
Great.
It's, I'll let you guys talk about it. You know it better than I do.
You want to go first?
No, you can go first. Yours
so,
simpler.
Yeah. No, my it's pretty clean cut. So I, after my sophomore year, had a pretty good summer, got recruited here, went on my first visit. My first visit was here. Took one look around. I really didn't know, you know, shit from apple butter when it came to, you know, you know, when it came to the whole recruiting process. I was just, you know, a kid all, you know, all bushy-tailed and happy. But, like, I was, you know, walking around, did the thing, and I didn't know how it went. So did the whole visit, went around campus, met with everybody, and then, you know, I get into Coach Erstad, his office, and he offers me up, and I'm like, who wouldn't want to, you know, be here? And so I said, I looked at my parents in the office and said, yeah, let's do it. And Coach Erstad was looking at me like I had 10 eyes, like, what, like that? Like, that's it? That's all I had to do? Yeah. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah.
Were you big Nebraska fans growing up?
Honestly, I remember when they went to the CWS in 05. Mm-hmm. And, like, cool. Like, awesome, that's Nebraska. That's their home state. But I wasn't, like, you know, I wasn't a fanboy. I never really was a fanboy of, you know, Nebraska baseball. I just was always supporting it. Like, I was, you know, if they were on TV, I was going to root for them.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, you know, glued to the TV every time they played.
Well, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Like, I think 2017 is really when they started to get more popular, but before that, like, it was kind of a weird era.
It was. But so, I mean, I really didn't pay much attention to hell. I don't even, like, even growing up, I don't, you know, I'm not glued to any specific team in any league, you know, NFL, NBA. I'm not, you know, I'm not a fanboy of really anybody, but Nebraska, I guess, would be the closest thing to it. But I still wasn't, you know, that crazy about it. So when I got it, I just didn't know any better. I was like, this is where I want to be, and I don't know any better about the recruiting process, so, like, sign me up.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty much how it sorted itself out, and now I'm here talking to you guys, but, yeah, so. So, I mean, it was pretty clean cut, honestly. Yeah. It was good, though.
And, yeah, I mean, it was kind of, I guess, not highly publicized, but, I mean, people followed closely with that because, I mean, you just – like, but just dominated high school baseball here in Nebraska. Like, it wasn't competition.
Yeah, I mean, and
a little Millard South, right?
Yes, sir.
Millard South action, you know.
You know about it. But, yeah, I mean, it was – I didn't really realize how, you know, how crazy Nebraska fans are.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like crazy could be insulting, so don't take that seriously, Husker fans.
How passionate they are.
Yeah, very passionate, you know. But, like, when I committed, it was like, you know – you know, everyone is celebrating and stuff and, you know, giving you so much love on Twitter. You get all these followers. You should know. And, but, you didn't realize it until it happened. They were really, you know, fired up about it. So it was cool. Mm-hmm. Really neat experience, though. No regrets.
What about you, Jackson?
Mine was a little different. So I'm not from here. I'm from Texas. I'm from kind of a small town for Texas in West Texas. I'm like an hour and a half from Lubbock.
Okay.
So I grew up a Longhorn fan and did not like Nebraska.
Naturally.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't like I didn't dislike him. The only time I ever thought about him was, like, the Big 12 championship game where there was a second left on the clock.
Oh, no. Sure, there was.
There was a second left. That's criminal.
That is criminal.
But I really wanted to go there or I wanted to go to TCU, and those were, like, my two big schools. And I was bawling out my junior year summer. And half of my team was already committed to, like, where they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing really good. And I was playing in front of these two schools. And, like, I was playing in front of other Texas schools. Not even a text, not even a come, like, walk on, nothing.
Wow.
So I was thinking, like, man, like, I guess I'm going to New Mexico because those were my only two offers, mm-hmm. UNM and New Mexico State. And I got really lucky. One of our old teammates here, Bo Blessy, was committed mm-hmm. here. His dad played here way back in the day. And he had already committed, like, as, like, a freshman or sophomore in high school.
Wow.
And our recruiting coordinator at the time came and watched him play in Vegas for three games. And I just had, like, the three best games of my entire life. And so now I got Nebraska, like, calling me, saying, like, hey, we want you to come on a visit. I'm like, Nebraska? What conference is that in? And then I came up here, and I didn't really know what to expect. I wasn't, like, super excited about it. But I met Erstad, and... oh my God! I met her.
Change your mind.
And I was like, I'm in. Mm. This dude was just fiery. He was like dropping fuck bombs like while he was talking to me. He was like, I love to win. Like, I hate losing. Like, I want to play and I want to win. And I think you can help me do that. Mm. And I was like, I'm in. Where do I sign? And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, no, I'm in. I want to be a Husker. And he was like, you don't want to, like, talk to your dad? My dad wasn't here. And I was like, no. I'm good. Let's go.
He must have that effect.
Yeah,
making things a lot easier. Yeah.
Sold you like that.
Yeah. I knew who he was. I knew he was sweet. I knew he was high draft pick.
Yeah, the
almost
whole bit.
Like just a dude. But like meeting him and like shaking his hand,
very intimidating figure for sure.
I was crazy. Like, yeah, no, I want to play for you. And that was all it took for me.
I'm gonna go back 1 second on the. You remember when I was? Are you done?
Yeah, no, I'm done.
Go ahead. Cool. What I was saying about the fanboying with anybody else. Mm-hmm. I will say this: I fanboyed for Nebraska football for that was if I did fanboy for anything, it was Nebraska football growing up. Because I remember in 2011 we came down for a game against Ohio State. This might ring a couple bells. So this was the game. They were I don't even know how to recite it really. They're just getting their asses kicked at halftime.
Oh, the comeback
I'm looking
game?
At my yes, just, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Burkhead was on that team, right?
Oh, yeah. I quit watching at halftime.
I was looking at my dad, and I was 11 years old. You know, I was crying. I was freaking crying at a football game. So it does make sense how passionate Husker fans are because I was freaking crying, you know, but whatever. So I look at my dad, and I'm like, hey, let's go home. You know, like I've had it with this. Let's go home. I'm not watching the Huskers get their ass kicked, you know, on their home turf. Let's beat the traffic, whatever. You know, and so I
let's beat the traffic.
And so my dad was like, no, I paid a shit ton of money for these tickets. We're going to sit here and watch the damn game. So I'm sitting there, and, you know, and it turns around, and Rex Burkhead. God, that was like
I've
gotten
a chance to meet that guy, and he's just a stand-up dude.
Oh, I bet.
As humble as it gets.
I bet.
But when he talks, you know, you fucking listen.
That guy that was a bad motherfucker, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
He was.
He's still in the league.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, he's crazy. But, I mean, we were sitting there, and they make that comeback, and that was probably one of my earliest Husker moments that I can still, you know, recite back to. So, to go back to that, that's big.
Yeah, I quit watching that at halftime. Yeah. I actually went in my room to play NCAA football 14 and like
play the game
it.
And
so,
win the game.
Yeah.
Hey, don't listen to him. He said he's not a fanboy. His freshman year, we were having a gathering at our house, and two volleyball players walk in. Lauren Stiverins and Lexi Sun, and I'm having a conversation.
Shout
with
out,
them.
Guys.
I shout, apologize. Yeah, shout out. And Kyle Perry comes running through my living room, and is like hyperventilating. He's like, "Oh my god." Oh, my God, y'all are here. And they're like, who is this guy? And I said, I'm so sorry. This is one of our freshmen. And he was like, he grabbed both their hands. He was like, I'm Kyle Perry. Like, I'm a huge fan. That's so far. It's so cool to meet y'all. And they're like, okay.
I'm kind of pissed you remember that. That's
shit. And I was like, Kyle, like, you can, like, go on. And I was like, I am so sorry. I apologize, but I am so sorry. He's a freshman. Like, he's new. He's from here.
That's a rough look right there.
I mean, come on.
When he said he didn't fanboy over Nebraska athletics,
right,
don't believe
right.
him.
Add that on, Nebraska volleyball. I was a big fan, especially in 2017. That was lit. That was electric stuff. But
and those two are, like,
very, very, very dominant females.
Yeah, and they're tall, very good. And they stand out when you're at a gathering, as you say. I mean, they're There was KP.
Hey,
just running up.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. Absolute studs, dude. Absolute studs. So shout out, you guys.
Shout out. All right, so let's talk about the season. I know we touched on Arkansas a little bit, but there's a lot to be, like, happy about. You know, when your season came to an end, were you looking back at, man, we won the Big Ten championship. We did that. You know, we had a hell of a year. Is that what your expectation was at the beginning of the year? Or was it kind of like, man, we got in a roll. This is just
to be completely honest with you. Yeah, it was like we set out at the very beginning of the year and we lost our very first game to a bad Purdue team. And we met as a team after, and he was trying to like not get mad because like we had a long season ahead of us. But it was like kind of like, hey, figure it out.
Bolt.
Bolt. And he was like, if we're gonna get where we expect to go, like we gotta play and win these games. It's like, oh, whatever. We break out, we're going back, and I'm talking to dudes, and I was like, we're the best team in the Big Ten. What are we doing? Like, why are we playing like this? And somebody was like, did we play like the best team in the Big Ten today? I said, no, but I bet we will tomorrow. And then we came out the next day and just beat the brakes off of them twice.
That's sick.
And then it was just like, from that day on, it was just like, yeah, no, we are the best team. We played that way. Like, I mean, if
you had that mindset.
Play, if you watched us play, like, we played like some cocky motherfuckers.
I mean, that's half the battle, though.
Yeah,
it really is.
The game of baseball is so mental. If you don't believe you're the baddest dude on the field every time you walk on, you're screwed.
You're getting dominated.
Every single time. You could be the worst player on the field, and if you convince yourself that you're Mike Trout, pretty good chance you're going to have a good day.
Yeah.
And, like, we did that the entire season.
Yeah. No, I had a lot of observing to do.
Because you didn't get to play until the end of the year.
Yeah, so I mean, like, in the whole, like, it really, things for me started in the fall because I had no clue what this team was going to be about. I know we had some dudes that were coming back and whatever. but in the fall. So I, you know, I was sitting there with my sling on or whatever, watching practices every week.
Umpiring, doing umpiring.
I did do some umpiring.
Okay.
I did do a little bit of that, dabbled in that category, but it was, I was watching the boys a lot, and some days I'd be like, you know, damn, we're good. Like, you know, this is actually a legit team. Cause I mean, I was a part of a pretty solid team my freshman year, or sophomore year, a little different too, but like this year was, yeah. I mean, but I didn't, you know, as a freshman, things are moving so fast. You have no time to sit there and look at your guys and observe a little bit. So observing that whole fall,
yeah,
and like knowing, like coming into the spring, like we got some freaking dudes, and then we showed it in the spring. Obviously, you said that first series started off a little slow, but you know that's literally what we expected, especially after hearing about the all Big Ten schedule. The message Coach Bolt sent to us was literally the only way we're gonna get to where we want to be is if we win the whole damn thing.
That's the only way we.
That
was
the only path.
Because like RPI is so big in college baseball. I don't know how the hell.
I don't even know how it's calculated.
You beat good teams, your RPI goes up. You lose to good teams, it doesn't go down as much. You lose to bad teams, it
drops. Yeah, plummets
off the table.
That's pretty.
So it's like normal grades. It's easy. Sure. It's hard to get them up. It's easy to just lose it.
Like you play a non-conference like beginning of the season schedule, and you're playing like. In years past, we beat Texas Tech. We took 2 out of 3 on the road in Waco.
Yeah, that's huge.
We beat Arizona State. Like, that's RPI boosters. Like that helps, like, push you straight into the tournament, even if you're the third-place team in the Big Ten. But with none of that, we all started with dog shit RPIs because the Big Ten gets no love in baseball.
Yeah.
And so dog shit's playing dog shit according to RPI. It's all going to stay bad. And so, like,
had to battle your way to
It was like, hey, you want to make the tournament? You got to get the automatic bid. And we're like, all right, cool. Like, that's what we planned on doing anyway. So let's do it.
So that meeting we had when we found out that our season was all Big Ten, after we walked out of that meeting, everyone was kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say in the dumps, but like, you know, the guys were kind of pissed off. Is that a good way to put it?
Very good way to put it.
Yeah. So we were all, you know, pretty pissed off. We walked out of there with a chip on our shoulders, that sort of thing. I can't remember who I told it to, but I remember when we were walking out, I said, you know, might as well win the fucking thing, you know? Like, I say, you know, word for word. But, like, that was, I mean, you got to.
Major League,
literally.
All-time movie right there.
Yeah, seriously.
Shout out Major League.
Shout out. Shout out Ricky Vaughn. but seriously, though, I mean, it's, so we, you know, we got a tough hand there, but the boys dealt with it pretty freaking good.
Yeah, you know, we were dealt a lot of tough hands this year.
No doubt, dude. You guys delivered.
We had a, and I think it might have started with Banjoff. I don't know if it was somebody else, but. Just always kept saying, like, don't care. like, something happened, don't care. And then, like, I think it was week 2 or 3. It was just, like, we kind of just adapted that as, like, a team. And it just turned into everything. Like, all Big Ten, don't care. Like,
dude, little things like that go so far.
Yeah.
Dude, so far like, for team morale and just where you guys are at headspace-wise.
Yeah, no, I've said our mentality was, like, always just, like, don't care. Like, you're playing fantastic, don't care. You got to keep playing. Like, you're playing awful, don't care. You're tired,
sore. Let's ball out, yeah.
Ready to go home, don't care.
I might have to use that.
You got COVID? Foot in front of the other. You got COVID. Out of our team. You got COVID, don't care. Yeah. Don't care. You got to start running. Get going.
We don't mean that NC State. We care.
Oh,
we care.
But what's interesting, you talk about, like, in your own, within your team circle, you guys are like, yeah, we're going to win. We're really good. We're going to win. And about, it seemed like you guys were about the only ones who thought that because – outside in terms of media and everything else, they didn't really know because 2019 was an year, and then 2020, 7-8, then before the season cut short. So really, it's weird because the expectations, I don't think, were very high. People just didn't know.
That's why I don't like shit on paper. I don't like it. There are a lot of things that go into a team, especially a baseball team, and it goes with football too. Yeah. You've got so many freaking dudes, right? So, like, you can't go say, you know, like, two of these really projectable dudes are going to make this team amazing. And I don't know however many teams, you know, had pretty good, you know, dudes on their team but didn't pan out as a team. Mm. Like, there are a lot of things you have amongst a team that you don't see on paper. And a lot of those things, you know, don't help you out if you're doing preseason predictions, you know, with who's going to win the Big Ten.
And there's no way of them knowing that. Like, the don't care stuff or the way – I mean, even – you guys are kind of downplaying it, but the way you reacted after that first game was like a prediction of how the rest of your season was going to go.
Yeah, it was a game changer.
It was like you guys were pissed off, you knew where you should have been, and you, like, just all of you
yep.
went towards it. I mean, yep. you could have reacted a different way, and it could have went south.
Yeah,
but it didn't. Like, that's not a slight thing. Like, that's a big
it's huge.
Thing.
And that's things that we haven't been able to do as a program in the past. My freshman year here, the best way to, like, put it, we were fucking awful at baseball.
Dumpster
so fire. Bad. Like, we thought that, like, Erstad might get fired bad.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was going to retire the year after.
yeah.
But, like, we thought he was going to get fired, and it was like, oh, man, like, we got to start playing good so coach doesn't get fired. It wasn't a, like, we didn't have three or four dudes stand up and say, like, what we're doing is wrong. It's not working. Like, we got to change it. Like, whatever it is that we're doing wrong, we got to change. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that, like, we kind of had his freshman year, my sophomore year. We didn't have it last year, but we did have it this year, which, honestly, COVID might have saved us because two of our captains ended up coming back for an extra year.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
And having that much experience coming back and, like, the ability to, like, lean on a player instead of a coach to, like, guide you. That's one thing Coach Bolt always said. He said, good teams are coach-led, but great teams are player-led.
Yeah.
And I can say with the utmost certainty that this team was player-led. Like, everything that we did mentality-wise was not really – it was kind of influenced by the coaches, but, like, it was enforced by the players.
Yeah. Like, you somebody, guys, like, fully embraced
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah, and, like, if somebody was out of line, it wasn't the coaches that went and got them. It was a player that went and got them. Like, hey, clean it the fuck up. Like, upstairs – figure it out. Like, you're not here mentally. Figure it out.
You never had the opportunity of going straight internal because you had somebody in your ear before you even had the opportunity to do that. So, like you're saying, I mean, that's huge. And, you know, it means a whole, you know, a hell of a lot more when it comes from a player. I wouldn't say that, you know, you take it with a grain of salt if a coach gets into you.
Yeah.
But coming
it's
from a player.
It's almost expected, but like a peer-to-peer
exactly.
type of
somebody
huge.
On the exact
that way,
same
huge.
Level is like, coming and telling you, like, what you're doing is wrong or, like, what you're doing is fantastic. Like, it's not going unnoticed. Like, little things like that just, like, it makes the wheels turn.
One of your boys that you're hanging out with all the time, you know, you just have, you know, bullshit conversations all the time. But if he comes and says, you know, comes to you and says something, you know, serious, whether he's ripping into you or giving you props, that means so much more than, you know, maybe a coach that you expect.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Touching on that a little bit about experience coming back. You thinking about coming back next year, Jackson? What's the deal with that? You know, I know you're kind of undecided, I guess.
You know, I'm in a weird spot. If you'd asked me a week ago if I was coming back, I would have said hell no because I thought I was getting drafted.
Mm.
And I thought I put myself in a pretty good spot to get drafted, but...
Yeah, I'd say so.
to say the least.
Batting 340 puts you in a pretty good spot.
And I had 10 home runs this year. I had, I think, 5 home runs my entire career before this year. And then I hit 10 this year. I thought that was the boost that I needed. But, you know, the cards didn't fall where I wanted them to, and... there's a chance that I could free agent sign, but I'd say it's 50-50 for everybody that's listening right now. I could be back. I might not. I'd love to be back, but so I'd also love to get paid to play baseball.
Yeah, so what's the deal breaker for you? Is it, you know, ideal team, like you're looking at a situation, or is it a money number you're looking at?
It's
like,
not a money number. I can say that.
It's not a money
number,
okay.
I'm pissed off right now. That's okay. The easiest way to explain is I'm pissed off. Yeah. I deserve to be picked up. I wasn't. And so I'm trying to figure out which way is the way that I can bet on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Is betting on myself coming back to college and then trying to have an insane year where it's just unfathomably, like, impossible for a team not to pick me up
next
year.
They can't ignore you.
Yeah. Like, it's just, like, do I have to come back and be Kevin Copps, who was 23 this year?
Mm.
Craziest college baseball season in the last, I don't even know how many years, picked up in the third round.
Nuts.
Like, do I bet on myself to do that? Or do I bet on myself to risk it, and if a team does call me to free agent sign, even if it's an awful situation, do I just throw myself in there 100%? Like, I believe in myself. Like, the odds aren't very good if you're undrafted to make it to the show.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm trying to figure out which one is me betting on myself and which one is just, like, not the way to go.
Yeah, it would be forcing it.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking about it. I'm praying about it. I'm trying to figure it out. And to be completely honest with you, I have no clue what I'm going to be doing this time next week, much less next season.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I have
and that's
no clue.
All right, though. I mean, some of it's just out of your control for the time being, and, like, it'll work itself out.
Like, right now, I am working out, I'm hitting, I'm throwing, and I'm living in Kyle Perry's basement for free. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I don't know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. And I definitely don't know, like, next season what I'm going to be doing.
Shit.
some suspension.
Sorry, Husker fans, if you were hoping that I was going to say what I'm doing.
I'm personally hoping for it, but, you know, we'll see what happens. If the boy goes, I got to respect it. Chasing his dream. I'm right there with you, man.
Hey, it's a win-win, regardless.
It is.
Comes back another year,
you're
yeah.
Playing ball.
Yeah, that's, and that's
playing
the thing
ball.
Is, like,
you're
I'm trying,
ball.
Like,
you're going to be playing ball.
I'm pissed off, but, like, I'm not sad. Because, like, here's the thing. Like, either a team does call me and they do offer me, like, a good opportunity to go play professional baseball, I'm playing baseball. Or if not, I get to come back to the place that I love more than anything. Mm. Like, I get to come back to the University of Nebraska. I get to play for a coaching staff that I love with dudes that I love. Like,
it's hard to beat that.
Yeah,
it
like
really
I'm
is,
like
yeah.
I'm in a hell of
Safe
a spot, even though
that.
It's a weird spot yeah. that I don't like being in. I'm in a hell of a spot. If you'd have told me 4 or 5 years ago, when I was a high school kid, not knowing where I was going to school, that this is where I'd be in 5 years, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'll take that.
Dude, it's great to put things in perspective that way.
It is.
Because people, like, I don't know, take my story, for example, whatever, like, all I'd ever dreamed about was playing Power 5 football, being the starting quarterback, whatever, and I almost became ungrateful for where I was at because I wasn't doing what my new expectation was. I mean, man, if you'd have told me 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when I was begging for offers, like, doing everything I could just to get to that level, like I was at where I'm at today, man, there's a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah, but I like that, though, because if you don't hold yourself to a high standard or expect the just, you know, that much out of you,
definitely,
you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. It's just how it goes because, you know, the great ones, you got to,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. If you're here, go higher, go higher. You know, it's how it is.
Keep climbing up that mountain, and there's no telling where the top of that mountain is, but you just keep climbing, hoping that maybe one day you get to that top of the mountain.
Yeah, Miley Cyrus.
Beautiful, man.
The climb, baby.
Miley Cyrus.
Shout out, Miley.
Hey, shout out,
Miley. My girl. Maybe she's listening.
Dude, what was that about? I think I saw that on Twitter, right?
So,
didn't you say something?
Arkansas
fans, of course.
God, I really hope Miley's listening. An Arkansas fan, like, went – this goes to show you how batshit crazy Arkansas fans are, I swear. This Arkansas fan, went all the way down when I got announced the starter of that game two in the regional. Went down all the way to tweets from 2014 when I was 14 years old, and I guess I tweeted, "Miley Cyrus is still hot." I think it was after her Grammy
Which
performance.
You weren't wrong.
Was it the wrecking
right.
ball one?
It probably was.
Had to be the one.
KP was down bad
either,
on Twitter.
I was exposed, but. You know, I think it was probably after her little, you know, scandalous performance with Robin Thicke or whatever happened
there.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, I was supporting the girl Miley. You know, you're still hot, letting her know. And some dude dug down deep and quoted the tweet and said, you know, we can't lose this guy.
You cannot let this kid beat us.
Right. Once he lost to that guy, I had to, you know,
clap back.
Yeah, I had to, you know, because I didn't, I saw it before the game, but I was like, that's, you know, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But, like, I waited till he beat him, and then, you know, the next day I quoted it, and I can't remember what I said, but it was something about you know about Miley or whatever, and so it was something about me getting flamed. That's what it was.
But
me getting flamed.
But didn't Miley like
post
something
right
on Twitter
after,
or something?
Like right after that, a bunch of like our local reporters were like saying like we stand like KP and we stand Miley like we love it like you can't shit on KP for loving Miley Cyrus, and then like I'm rolling through Twitter right before we get on the bus and I'm like, what? And she's posing in front of a bus that has Big Red on it. It's a Big Red bus.
Dude, come on. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah, no,
it can't
something
be.
It probably is, but it can't.
And so, I mean, I went back to the analytics of the tweet because, you know, for me, it was a pretty solid like tweet. So I went back to the analytics to see, you know, to see like how many people saw this for anything, right? And it said, you know, 300,000. So you got a quarter of a million people looking at this, and you're telling me that Miley Cyrus didn't, you know, scroll one time. Just one time over the damn tweet and was like, you know what? Props to the boy when he was 14 shouting me out.
She was like, yeah, I did.
He's been
good.
Let's go support the Big Red in front of a freaking bus while they make this run. So, I mean, coincidence, I don't know. It's up for debate. But
I tell you what, had we won that game, no doubt in my mind that Miley Cyrus posted that picture for us. But
damn
we
it.
Didn't, so maybe it wasn't.
We're going to ignore
I feel
that.
Like you
We're
going
to say it was on purpose.
I feel like you can't lose if it was real.
But man, it was sweet. It was sweet reading the tweets before I went out.
Well,
before I went
like,
out and pitched. It was sick.
The comments were like, oh my God, KP's got a chance at Miley Cyrus. Like, we were all like, dude, there's no way
Miley shooting her shot.
KP.
Dude, she's coming down to the game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was freaking cool, though. Pretty sweet.
What about the other Twitter saga with Mojo? Mojo Haggy and
all right. Take it away.
That seemed like a rat.
Take it away, Cowboy.
So this is a weird situation. Like, props to their fans, because they made this story up, and they ran with it. They did a really fucking good job.
Yeah.
I will give them that. So we're playing game two. So game one against Arkansas. We end up getting beat, but Mojo runs out there. Mojo's not the tallest guy, and so and he's in left field right next to their inbred hog pen. Sorry if you're from Arkansas. And they're just giving it to him. And Mojo did an awful job because he was locked in straight forward. He never turned around. He never acknowledged them. And so they were just like, they knew they were in his head. And so they just kept giving it to him and giving it to him and giving it to him. He just kept taking it. Well, in the first inning, they tried to give it to me. They did their little Hallmark sucks chant.
Yeah.
And I turned around and I put my hand to my ear. Mm. And then I like inched closer and then I like did a hand motion telling them, like, hey, get louder. And then one guy yelled at me like, you're not supposed to do that. It messed up their entire like.
Jacked their flow up.
Yeah, it messed it all up. And so they were like, whatever. And then another fan yelled at me like in the fourth inning because they weren't giving anything to me. And they said, you're from Midland, Texas. I know you. You're a Longhorn fan. You're a Longhorn reject. And everybody's like, oh. And I started walking closer. I was like, you're fucking right. If Texas called me in high school, I'd have been there in a heartbeat. And they were like, you could tell they were just like kind of stunned. And they were just like, oh, whatever. We're going to go back to Mojo. And like, they kept ripping into him and ripping into him and ripping into him. Well, the next day we're playing NJIT, which they just adopted as their little brother.
Naturally.
We're beating the brakes off of this team.
Yeah, that was like the 18 to.
Yeah, no, they're throwing out pitchers that are like their number two dude. And we hit like 7 home runs that day. Like, we're just mashing baseball.
And that was like a close game early, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah. Like,
first few innings, it was like,
oh my God, like, we're thinking about Arkansas. We're about to lose to NJIT because we're thinking about Arkansas.
Wow.
And then it was just like we flipped the switch like for we sure. always do on offense and then just beat the brakes off of them. Well, so they start chirping Mojo. There's like maybe 200 Hog fans in the outfield. They're watching NJIT. And they start chirping Mojo, and Mojo's getting ballsy because we're winning by like 10 runs now.
Yeah.
And he's turning around. He's laughing at him, whatever. And one lady, just one random lady, Mojo's facing forward, and she says, did you just flip me off?
No.
And I heard it, and I looked over at Mojo, and Mojo's looking forward, and he just kind of like confused look, turned around and looked at her, and she just starts screaming, he just flipped me off. He just flipped me off.
Bat shit crazy.
And so I drop back into the dugout, and I'm like, Mojo, did you just flip that lady off? It's broad daylight. Like, what are you doing? And he was like, no. And so, like, they put that on Twitter, like, one lady, and she had, like, 40 followers. And so we're like, there's no way that this is, like, going to get anything. We're sitting in their track facility eating food, like, just, like, trying to calm down.
Mm.
And then we see that, like, one person commented on it and said, no, he wasn't flipping the girl off. He was flipping off the NJIT bullpen. NJIT bullpen was in right field, and he's in left field, and the lady's behind him. Well, I guess the right person saw it and retweeted it because, like, we stopped looking, and then 30 minutes later, I looked up Mojo Haggie on Twitter, and he was just getting flamed.
Yeah, he was getting flamed for sure.
And, like, I will say there was, like, some good ones. Like, there were some good tweets. I can't think of it off, like, the top of my head, but there was one. It was like, Mojo Haggie can lick my baggie or something. And, like, I was, like, seeing this, and I was like, oh, man, like, Mojo's going to wear it. That night.
Oh, yeah. He was getting more press that day than he ever has. Well,
so like, they called our names for the lineup, 15,000 Hog fans in unison.
Boo!
It sounded so cool.
Yeah, honestly, so if cool. I'm Mojo, I'm like, let's go.
Well, at that point, we had already decided, we were like, we'll just be the villain. Like, we were sitting there talking, we're like, we'll just be the villain. Like, if they want us to make us out as the villain, we'll be the villain. That's fine with us. Mm.
Oh, it was sick. It was sick. I mean, like, for Mojo, I haven't even really talked to him about the whole situation, but I mean, I'm sure he didn't. I mean,
Mojo's a grown ass man, so I'm sure Mojo's.
I mean, more than that. Like, he's a grown ass man. He's got a full beard, but, like, it got to him in that first game.
Mm.
And so, like, in the second game, you could tell, like, he had a little bit of experience at least.
Yeah.
And he had a really good game. Like, it won't show up in the stat book.
Well, he made, like, a diving play.
Yeah. He did make a really sweet catch that he did not need to dive for. He did tell me that he slowed down a little bit so that he could slide and catch so that he could stare the crowd down, which he did.
What a dog.
He made the play. He stared him down. Like, love it.
Mm.
But he had a, like, at bat, like, while he was getting booed by, like, 15,000 Hog fans, he barreled up 3 baseballs. He didn't have a single hit. But he barreled up 3 baseballs.
Yeah, it was crazy. Because in between that game one and game two, Twitter was
churning.
Twitter was
Nebraska. Twitter was there too.
Yeah, no, yeah, like, we were like all of our phones were blowing up.
And like I'm on the feed. I got a good mix of Miley Cyrus and Mojo. Just like it was crazy. Like I'm sitting here trying to relax, but I'm so damn entertained by my own phone because I got to pitch the freaking nightcap. So I'm looking at my phone. You know, I'm fired up, but you know. It kind of made it made it a lot easier on me, knowing they hated Mojo so bad that he was the villain. So yeah.
That's the thing is, like, we embraced it.
Yeah.
Like,
that'd be fun.
Twitter was a wild weekend. That Twitter world that, like, we were all in that weekend was insane. Like, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
But, like, as a team, we were like, Mojo would never hurt a fly. Like,
no, Mojo's a great
dude. Cute little kid that just happens to, like, be ginormous. And can hit baseballs really well.
I haven't even met him at all, and it just based on everything I see, it's like he just
so
feels
sweet.
Like a chill, cool guy.
So good with kids, like fan favorite for 5 years.
Yeah, fan favorite.
And they hated him, and so it was kind of just like, screw you. Like KP went out and just absolutely shoved 9 months off of arm surgery.
Oh yeah,
like
that was
sick.
We were at
we
home
were dominating. Like the guy that pitched, that like sweet. Ended up getting picked up in what, like the sixth or seventh round?
Hell, I don't know.
Lockhart.
Oh yeah, ninth.
That was the game that I hit the home run, and I like hit it off. I hit it off the bat, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm about to act up."
Is that you stomped on home plate?
Yeah. So yeah. I rounded first base. I rounded first base, and I screamed, "Fuck you!" to the pitcher. I like slow jogged around second, and like I guess I was going a little too slow, and I started getting booed while I was rounding third base from the third base side, and so I turned my shoulders and faced them. While I was touching first base and sidestepped third base, slapped Coach Harvell's hand, and I'm still getting booed, so I just stick my hand straight up, and I'm looking around and, like, waving at him.
That's
and then,
sick.
Like, it just I don't know why. Like, I didn't think about stomping on the plate.
Embracing the moment.
And then I just stomped on the plate, and I'm getting booed and motherfucked. Like, I can hear these, like, individual voices. Like,
oh, yeah.
Fuck you, number two. And, like, I tap helmets with Schwelly, and then, like, I did what I always do. Like, I did the, like, come on, bring it on motion. Mm. And, like, it was good for Mojo because they couldn't boo 100% at Mojo because they split it 50-50 for me. Which was
I bet after that.
Because they had all their, like, emotions put into me and Mojo, and they forgot about the dude that was just carving up the best offense in the team, the country.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was easy. But, like, no. Like, you made it easier on me. That's all I'm saying. Like, I wasn't even their crowd when I was pitching. It wasn't even – I mean, it was louder
there was
than
so
shit,
much
but it
thought
wasn't.
About, like, yelling at Mojo and yelling at me that they forgot about yelling at the dude that was controlling the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say that home run was so freaking sick because so as a pitcher, I don't know if I don't know if you guys know, but like, you know, usually you're off to the side and like no one talks to you. It's just a weird thing.
They won't let you get in your zone.
So like, and I mean, I'm a pretty hyperactive guy, so I mean, I don't sit long, but so he was up earlier in the inning. And so I'm just still chilling there before I get ready to go out again. And so I had gotten done with my inning cause we were home team that game.
Yeah. So
we were home team. So I had
pitched
and then,
We hit.
Yeah. So I had gotten done with my inning. And so I'm chilling there and he hits it and I'm like, oh, this is sick. Like I see him around the bags and everyone's, you know, and that stadium went freaking dead
silent. And you like all you're in the video, like, there's like a buzz dead. Thinking that Franklin's going to make this catch. And then it hits the batter's eye.
Yeah.
And it's, like, dead silent for, like, a half a second. And then you can hear our fans going insane.
Oh,
yeah. Shout out to our parents and our fans that traveled because we had two massive sections.
But they're rowdy.
That were filled to the brim. And they sell beer at those games. And they were rowdy.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were drunk and they were rowdy.
And
that's a game changer.
And so while I'm sitting there on the bench, you do the big stomp thing. And I'm just, it was so cool from where I was sitting. I wish I would have been recording, but had other things to deal with. But I was sitting there, and when he does, I was just like, I don't know who I looked to, but I looked at somebody down at the end of the dugout and just smiled and shook my head. It was just so – it was the coolest view for it all. It was so – it was such a sick moment. I mean, I hate to talk you up that much, but it was freaking cool. It was sweet.
It was. Watching on TV was awesome.
Yeah, it was dope.
I've watched the video at least 300 times, which I know is weird to say. But my favorite part about the entire video is not me hitting, it's not me rounding the bases or me stomping home plate. It's looking at the reactions of our team.
Mm.
You can see the psychos that we have on our team, and then you can see the guys that were like, you fucking idiot, it's the first inning.
Yeah, and you're like
there's
stomping like, on
there's
the plate.
There's two different reactions, and there's no in-between. Logan Foster made this face in the video where he's just like, he's played there.
Mm.
He's been in the outfield there. Like he knows, like, what these fans, like, the ability.
He went to A&M, right?
Yeah.
He knows the ability that they can have, like, on a game. And, like, I just, right in their face, just
screw
spit
it.
Right in their face. and flipped him off.
They didn't like that too much.
No, they didn't. They did not like it. And Logan's face in the video is he looks so like disappointed in it. But then you got like 15 dudes that are just like screaming, like veins popping out, just like freaking out. And he's just like shaking his head. And he's like, no, why would you do that?
Hard to beat that moment, dude.
Cool shit. Cool shit.
It was really cool. That's an all-timer, like life moment you're not going to forget.
I will never forget that moment. Really cool. Hopefully there's a lot more, but that was cool. I've never hit a home run like that. I've never hit a home run to center field. And I did it twice in one day.
Really hit home runs?
Yeah, like
except this year.
Yeah, I have no juice. Like I don't. And then this year all of a sudden it was like, bang, you're going to lead the team in home runs. Okay, cool.
Let's rock.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Not going to question it.
I'm still going to bunt 17 times in a weekend, but hey, whatever.
You did some cool shit.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Episode 6 of Athletes Unfiltered, featuring Jackson Hallmark and Kyle Perry. Make sure to follow our social medias at ATH Unfiltered on both Twitter and Instagram, and follow our personal social medias at MartinezTheQB and at X on Sports. And if you're feeling generous, make sure to throw us maybe a donation, both on Spotify and on our Patreon, for exclusive members getting behind-the-scenes content not heard anywhere else. And remember, this is only part 1 of 2 for episode 6. Expect part 2 to come out next Friday for more Jackson and Kyle content. Again, thank you everyone for listening. From Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. We'll talk to you soon.